shame.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. I have with me your other hostess, Hanako.
Hello.
And your other host, Carl.
What's happening, people?
Hey, hey. And guess what? Today we are talking about Game of Thrones.
Yay!
Finally.
Now let me tell you,
sweet winter in the middle of July.
Us talking about Game of Thrones is in part Hanako is responsible for this because she demanded that we talk about Game of Thrones after each episode. I didn't promise her that would happen, but I said I'd try. And also today, the entire day, Daryl was like, are we going to talk about Game of Thrones? And so, like, he's supposed to be here, but then all of a sudden, radio silence. So, Daryl, you suck.
Yeah, Daryl.
I told you this is too late for him. The man needs his nap.
I know he's old. He's like...
getting to be rough.
He's 63 years old, and he can't, you know, wow, do the things that normal people do anymore. That's fine. Wow. Do your retirement on somebody else's time, okay?
Wow. We still love you, Daryl.
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not sure that I do.
Harsh.
Yeah, I just figure the season is only seven episodes long this season. Oh. And you got to think about it. Total, we only have 13 more episodes to talk about before Game of Thrones is done.
You don't have to count them out like that. You're making me hurt. This is hurting my heart.
I'm just saying. Well, you know, I'm just
dose of reality. Is it bad that I felt a little relief?
You know what? We're not paying attention to you and your whatever. Whatever. I wish you could see my face right now.
Yeah,
we are so not. Yeah,
it,
whatever.
Just save it.
Whatever. Okay. But let's talk about this episode because, oh my God, like from the beginning.
Okay, Hanako, like, later. So we don't have to recap it, but let's like just bring up certain things that you saw in the episode and what you felt. So I guess we can start from the beginning with Arya.
We need to start with that cold opening, because first of all, I'm sitting here looking at it like, wait, I said they started the episode without the theme song playing. Like, oh, they're doing something different, because I think that's aside from the very first episode of the show, period. I think that's only the second cold opening we've had. And it was a doozy.
They just have so much they got to cram in. That's what the problem is. It was just so much happening.
I mean, I can't think of a better way for that show, for this season, to open up. Because at first I was kind of confused. I was like, why are we looking at Walder Frey? Why is he having a party? And at first I thought it was a flashback. Then when I noticed all of the girls giving out the drinks, I looked, I said, wait, are those all here? Oh, I said, I betcha that's Arya. That's got to be Arya.
Let me tell you, Hanako, what I was thinking. First, they did the little, what happened last time on Game of Thrones. And then they showed Arya slitting his throat. And then we see him throwing a party again and giving everybody drink. And so I was just like, okay, we're talking about Red Wedding. We're talking about
flashback or something.
You know, something like what?
And see, that's what I thought too.
So what is going on, number one? Number two, is this, I was disappointed that it was Arya and that she killed everybody. It was just like, so once I figured it out, it was just disappointing to me. Like,
no!
Yeah, I'm
what?
Sorry.
No!
I Eric's not here. I have to be Eric. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I was disappointed.
No.
That was one of the best things. And
it was predictable.
That,
and it was
she
just,
was cold. And
it
she wasn't.
You knew that was going to come. It wasn't cold. It was expected. expected. I mean, it was just like, what happened to Game of Thrones that used to make me very uncomfortable? This is just, oh, come up and splurdy blurder blur. I mean, it was just so predictable. You knew when he was like, oh, I'm not going to spend my wine on a woman. And I was just like, okay, this, I see what's happening now. And I was just, I guess because I saw it, I don't know. Somebody who enjoyed it.
I didn't expect her to kill all of the sons or all of the children because literally, if you think about Arya in the last few seasons, she has gone down this list. She's had a kill list. And Walder Frey is the name that she's mentioned. And so once she killed him, I thought, oh, okay, well, she's done. She's going on to the next person or wherever her journey is going to take her next. I really wasn't expecting her to go to do everybody in the castle. But then again, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I spent all of yesterday rewatching all of season 6. And the episode right after Jaime and his soldiers retook River Run? Yes. When they retook it and they had the little feast there, the girl that was flirting, you know, that was kind of looking at Jaime, flirting with him, I realized that was Arya in her disguise.
What?
And so I'm thinking,
wait, what?
Yeah, that was okay. So you remember when they were having the feast after they killed the Blackfish? They came back, Walter Frey,
and the one hand bandit. Word to get, I forgot that.
Yes, yeah. So,
wow.
It was after they left the castle, when they got back to Walder Frey's, and you know, he was having his big banquet talking about, oh yeah, the Freys and the Lannisters send their regards and all this stuff. So Bronn and Jaime are sitting at a table. And they're sitting at a table talking and eating. And this girl comes to serve. Bronn's looking at her, but she's only looking at Jaime. And he was like, you don't even have to do anything. They just want you. I realized after rewatching the episodes yesterday, that girl is the same girl. That's the same face that Arya wore when she killed Walder Frey. So that was Arya, I guess, kind of scoping out things at that point.
What?
And
wow.
So, yeah.
I didn't get that. Wow.
So I'm thinking maybe she had no plans to kill the sons, but we already know from her actions at the brothel, you know, Arya has this thing where she does not like younger women and women being taken advantage of and kids and we all know Walder Frey is a pedophile.
Well, because she's normal.
Right. I mean, they just seem to get younger and younger and younger. So I'm thinking that maybe that was kind of her way of also kind of just eliminating all of that. I don't know if that was her motivation. But, you know, like I said, I didn't expect her to go in and kill everybody. I thought once she did Walder Frey, it was done. And then when she came up and, you know, I start seeing everybody taking drinks, I'm like, oh, she's about to do this on a grand scale. Like, I really felt like she wanted people to know who she was and what she was capable of doing. That's why at the end, she made those statements to the girl. She was like, tell them, you know, you don't, what was it? If you leave I can't even remember the quote. She said something about, if you leave one wolf alive, we'll come for the sheep or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and she basically was like, the North, remember, she wanted them to know who was there, because that word is going to spread. There's no way it can't not spread.
It's gonna spread through some,
you know,
women.
What I'm saying? Shit. But no, I mean, that's gonna send a message. And now here's the thing: most of the people who knew Arya when she was younger probably wouldn't recognize her now. Not that, you know, we know her because we've seen her face, but you got to think about it: people who knew her dad and who knew her didn't even recognize her. So now she can kind of go through the lands and just kind of do what she pleases, and you know, people will be looking for her, but they're not gonna know what to look for.
Oh, that's true.
So, you Carl, know, what she, did you and think she, about what did you think about this cold open? We've been doing all of the talking here.
Yeah, no, I'm just listening. Well, for you, Kat, I mean, okay, I'll admit I did put it together rather quickly that it was her in disguise. But come on now, you got to appreciate the carnage, the scale of what she's bringing down.
I mean, that is to pass out. That's all they did.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't going to be like she was single-handedly going to stab everybody in there.
That would have been efficient.
She's being efficient. I admire her diligence and her thoroughness. It was an effective strategy that she was able to take care of everybody. Now look, any time I'm at a Game of Thrones banquet, the first thing I'm gonna do, I mean, this is not a guarantee, but the first thing I'm gonna do is watch to see if the dude leading the toast actually drinks the wine. I mean, right then, you ought to be going, oh, wait a minute now. You know, dude, you bring it up there. And he's like, oh, to everyone here, I want to thank my grandbabies. Okay, now is he going to drink? Is he going to actually drink? I'd be looking. So none of this, whoo, yeah, I'm going to take it down and we're going to listen to what he got to say afterwards. No, eagle eye. So
if they close the doors.
Yeah, don't be locking
silently,
the doors.
Yeah, and there's a pregnant woman there.
Yeah, we learned about that closing door stuff at the Red Wedding.
Red Wedding at the Big Chapel case. I mean, the Judas.
The Sept of Baylor.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just, no, as soon as you hear them doors locked, you in trouble. You are
so
in trouble.
Banquets right and feasts on Game of Thrones, just bad news all around. Joffrey died like said, at
court,
one.
Court cases too, remember? the trial.
Yeah, yes.
So, yeah, they'll drop a whole city just out of spite. They don't care. They do not care.
That's
so,
not like
yeah.
Star Trek where they have court. When they have in courts and stuff like that, it doesn't end.
Well, yeah, it does. Remember, they opened the little thing, and then all the Romulans disintegrated.
Oh, right. You're right.
You just got to be careful anytime you're in big open spaces and they lock the door. Just look out. Whatever universe, whatever time period, be on the lookout. So yeah, I thought that was really cool. I have always been a fan of Arya. She's probably my favorite. And
isn't her vengeance getting a little predictable and like I'm over it. Like every time we see her, she's winning. Like there's nothing bad happened to her. It's not realistic.
Excuse me, she's a Stark. She's had enough bad.
Thank you.
I understand that, but it's like everything bad has happened and now it's the comeuppance seasons. Yeah, and it's just like everything is like,
but look, she is like one of the last ones. Yeah, I agree. She has been through such crap. And when you look at Game of Thrones, the heroes tend not to win. So, I mean, stuff doesn't go well in Game
right.
of Thrones. It is always chaos
but last
and drama.
Season, everything
and
went
to...
well for everyone. Like, somebody died, what's came it? Back to life. What's it's her face? Well. Got free.
it's not well.
She was free of her stupid, abusive, rapey husband. And then, like, Arya got her eyesight back.
These are small compared to loss of your entire family, blew
right.
up a whole city,
I
been murdered
why
your
you bringing
family.
Up, hey, why you bringing up old stuff?
Because we're talking about context. This is the whole thing. So anyway, so the thing is, you know, Game of Thrones, I mean, look, I don't want to, you know, be saying stuff, but there tends not to be, just like in life, genuine winners in Game of Thrones, okay? There is always a price. So the fact that we're getting a little bit of vengeance, that apparently that's the only thing we get in Game of Thrones, just a little bit of vengeance, because everybody that we like, all of the heroes, they end up paying a price for it. So you know, we got to enjoy the battle and enjoy the noise and the chaos while we can, because even dear Arya, I am certain, is going to have to pay a price.
She already paid a price.
Oh, please. That is not the Faustian scale of price that you have to pay in Game of Thrones. I mean, we're not talking about paying a price. I'm like, you know, you're handcuffed down to a table, and you know, she's like, let me introduce you to my masked friend here. That's the kind of price you gotta pay.
Well, I don't
in
even
Game
know
of
what
Thrones.
You're talking about right now.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not gonna
Yeah. So anyway, So I'll admit, I did see it. You know, I figured out real quick what was going on there. But hey, it's about time.
Shocking. If it was shocking or more clever, I think it would have been better for me. But just to see, Arya again. She's killing people and she's winning.
You about quit Game of Thrones just for the Red Wedding. Now you're complaining that it's not gory enough?
Well, see, but you had me adjusted to the misery and the depression that was Game of Thrones. So when I'm watching Game of Thrones, I am ready to be depressed. I'm ready to slip my wrist. I'm ready to open my vein. And then all this freaking happiness and vengeance and like people like seeing their just rewards or just whatever you call it. And I'm just like, what is this crap?
I'm through with you. I just ain't.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying though. You know they have gone through, but now it's just like, oh, it's the end of the rainbow. We got to overcome. Yeah, go crazy and bloody blender. I'm just like,
you know what? Six seasons of this stuff where the heroes don't win and when things don't balance out.
But you know, I'm comfortable with the misery at this point, you know? And now it's all happiness. I don't understand it. I don't trust it because it's like, oh, she's winning. It's too easy. I don't trust it.
That's the proper that's the right perspective. You watched like two episodes and you're getting frustrated people will win it. I'm telling you, there's going to be a price to pay. So, just stay tuned. Stay tuned. I don't see why you acting like, like from this point on, everything is going to be happy and joy and cheery.
I felt like last season there was a lot of thrilling heroics going on. You know what I mean? There was a lot of like.
It's just the first episode.
I'm talking about last season.
She came up. The bastard came up, everybody came up, and it was just like I felt like for so long up until last season everybody lost. Everything was so miserable. Like I said,
you are complaining that five seasons of death, destruction, and now finally in the end of the story, people are starting to kind of win.
It feels wrong now. I don't know what to do with it.
But again, Kat, it's still only the first episode. We still have six episodes to go. And
somebody better lose an arm.
Daenerys is on her way to Westeros. There's going to be a hell of a lot more death and destruction before this season is over. I guarantee.
She's going to live. I feel like the bastard's going to live. I felt like who's gonna die? They're not gonna kill a favorite character that has lived.
Want Cersei. As long as Cersei dies, I love Cersei, but she got to go.
That's too easy for me. What would be realistic is if Cersei dies and became queen of all of whatever. You know what I mean? I'd be happy with that ending because it feels like, okay, yeah, you know what I mean? Okay.
That's not gonna happen simply because everything that happened in Cersei's prophecy is coming true. So she's gonna die.
What was the prophecy?
The prophecy was the one from I think it was season five.
She said you would lose three all your kids.
Die, and then what? She's supposed to die by. I think she's supposed to die. Her younger brother is supposed to be her downfall.
Wait, the one armed bandit.
I believe so.
A younger brother. That would be Tyrion.
Not necessarily. Jaime is also younger than her.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's think about part two of Arya, which is this Ed Sheeran thing.
Ed Sheeran.
Oh. Yes, I was like, who's Ed Sheeran? Because obviously, whoever this guy is, people are up in arms that this guy, was singing like he was like a reject from freaking NSYNC. And I was like, what? That don't sound Middle Earth to me. What is this singing? And then like they turn around and it's all happy-go-lucky campfire. And I thought somebody needs to die. Nobody died. They're sitting around a campfire. It was happy and joyous and they were singing. That's uncomfortable for me. Here's the thing.
Okay, so they were Lannister soldiers. And of course we know Arya has a tendency to kind of kill Lannisters or Lannister soldiers or anybody associated with them. So just in the different discussions and different comments I've seen, people were saying, yes, that scene was kind of weird and it was out of place. But somebody else pointed out, they said no, because they said at this point, they said Arya probably had the intent to kill these soldiers. But when she sat down with them and she's listening to them talk, and she basically sees, okay, yes, these are Lannister soldiers, but they're fighting somebody else's war, because that's what has been told of them. Like, these are regular guys. They just want to go back to, they want to get this over with so they can go back to their family. So it's kind of a sense of her being able to see that maybe everything is not black and white. Just because they're, you know, representing Lannisters does not mean that they're all bad. Just like anybody who's representing whoever the good people are supposed to be in this
It's a slippery slope,
but it's something that she at this point in time needs to see, because up until now she's only seen it one way or the other. She hasn't had to look at it on both sides and see, okay, well, these people are good, but they're playing the wrong. She hasn't had to deal with the Roose Boltons, who, you know, pledged loyalty to her brother and then turned around and betrayed him. She hasn't had to deal with the Theon Greyjoys. You know what I'm saying? So it was just kind of like a break from all of that. But again, it's something that was unexpected, because everybody was fully expecting Arya to sit there and slit their throats. But anyway, as far as the song that Ed was singing, he was singing a song that is in the books, and it's a I went and looked it up. The name of the song is called Hands of Gold, and in the books, this is the song that kind of foretold about Tyrion's relationship with Shae and how it would end. Apparently, this was a song that was used to kind of tease Tyrion about his relationship with Shae. And then when he killed her in the books, he was actually speaking the lyrics from this song. So I'm just going to read out the lyrics. The lyrics says, he rode through the streets of the city, down from his hill on high. Over winds and the steps and the cobbles, he rode to a woman's cry. For she was his secret treasure, she was his shame and bliss, and a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. So people are thinking that this is kind of like foreshadowing whatever is going to happen between Cersei and Jaime, because of course we know Jaime has that hand of gold. We know Cersei is his bliss, and Cersei is also his downfall. You know what I'm saying?
Bliss. That's okay, so you went a little deeper than I thought you were going to go. What I'm talking about is, what do you say, Ed Sheeran is his name? So what I read was, this guy is a pop singer. And yes. British.
He's like one of Britain. The biggest pop singers
in the
world right now.
The UK. I've never heard of this guy. Number one.
I cannot
believe that
you've not heard of this.
No, I've never heard of this
guy. I bet you if I played a song of his, she'll be like,
don't
oh,
do
that.
Him. Don't do that. Let me have my moment.
I'm just saying.
Because
I'm
like
saying,
I feel like he's a Bieber. Okay, for number one. Number two. Because the actress that plays Arya is a fan of this guy, is the only reason this guy was in Game of Thrones. And for whatever reason, I was reading something like BuzzFeed or Bored Panda or something like that, that this guy took a whole lot of people out of the Game of Thrones. Like, it was the equivalent of putting Bieber in there. And
you know what? Those people can kiss my ass, honestly. Because here's the thing. Other people have made cameos throughout the show, and nobody has said a peep. Someone from Coldplay was in the episode last season. Nobody said anything. That's still considered.
Coldplay is not Justin Bieber.
But look, you being hard on Ed. Okay, Ed Sheeran is not that bad. He's
I don't know this guy.
And particularly, I actually thought he looked right for the era. You know, they could have stuck some people in there, and you'd be like, that dude is not...
Well, Hanako loves him because he's a ginger.
That is true, but I'm a fan of his music. So, I mean,
you'd be rocking out to some Sheeran.
He's not bad.
I don't even know who you
and like,
two people
I knew
are
months
right
ago.
Now.
I knew months ago that he was going to be on the show because he mentioned it on his social media that he was going to be on Game of Thrones, that he had like a little cameo piece. and that he was excited about it. So, you know, I just think, one, people who are complaining about that, y'all are complaining about the wrong fucking thing. I mean, he was what, 2 or 3 minutes in an 80 minute episode.
His melodics didn't even belong in Middle Earth.
Okay,
I'm just being honorary right now. I'm Eric right now.
I think maybe you need a Snickers. All right, you need a Snickers. Because you're turning into Eric right now, and it's frightening everybody around us. And I really do not get your hatred for him.
I don't have any hatred. I'm just playing
especially considering she
care,
has
really.
No clue who
I
he
have,
is.
I don't even care. I don't even know why I'm being this way.
But you're so passionate about the fact that you don't care.
That's what I look. I actually like the song.
You know, I just feel like talking crap, and so whatever.
You are excelling at that, my dear. I got to tell you, the crap is just flying. Look, I like the song. I thought his cameo was kind of was amusing, but it did not in any way take me out of things. Like I said, just looking at him, he's got that scruffy look. He seemed like he looked like he's right for the era and right for the play. I do agree that the music seemed rather contemporary. There was something about that was not quite. But I still liked it. You know, when they were sort of
he
coming
sounded
out
folksy.
Corner.
I mean, if you think about
sound
think about,
folksy, he sounded like no. He was in sync, dude. It sounded like he could have been like 5 seconds away from Bye Bye Bye. Seriously,
no,
he sounded like the scribe from what was it? Season 1, Season 2, the one that was accompanying Catelyn when she captured Tyrion. That's what it sounded like to me. He didn't sound like anything contemporary.
He sounded a little contemporary.
But again, I wasn't looking for a reason to hate the scene.
Yeah, come on.
Have you met me? I'm looking for a reason to hate everything because I'm irritated because Game of Thrones is back. And I don't know why I'm irritated because I enjoyed last season, but I'm still irritated from like having to watch it when y'all pulled me out of my bliss and I was like, I quit Game of Thrones and y'all pulled me back in and now I'm just cranky.
I think you need some more alcohol. What are you drinking right now?
Cranky.
I don't think you're drinking enough.
Okay. So anyway, I don't have any more to drink. Okay. So let's move on from Arya and go. What was after her?
Let's see. I think Cersei standing in the courtyard and the conversation she and Jaime had. Basically where I'm trying to think. Is that where it was? Yeah, and she was basically...
Are we going in order? What are we doing?
Well, I mean, we're trying to go in order, but that's fine. We can start with Cersei okay. And Jaime and their conversation, which was boring. But the
which was
pretty,
what?
It boring. But that map was pretty. I love maps. I have like a thing for maps. But
yeah, that map was pretty. But I think it's kind of weird because this is the first time where you actually kind of look at them, and Jaime is, I think he's kind of looking at Cersei in a different light because you know, as he says, he's like we haven't even, and she asked him. She said, "You're mad at me." He was like, "No, I'm not mad at you. I don't even think he cares about the fact that she burnt down the Sept." I really don't think he cares about that. But the thing I think for him is like he comes back to find out that his last surviving child is dead
from suicide.
And she has not talked about it. She hasn't told him what led up to. She hasn't told him anything. And she's at the point where she was like, "Yes, I love my children, but are we supposed to mourn them to forever? We're living, and we need to do this, and we need to conquer the world." And he's looking at her like, "Okay, this is different." You know, so I don't know if that's going to play into this whole future where I guess they're supposed to be at odds with each other. But it was kind of weird watching that dynamic because you've always seen them. It's like they've always been kind of on the same wavelength, even though
Did you want to say in sync?
No, I did not. But it was kind of like. You know, they've always kind of agreed with each other. Even when they disagreed, they always kind of came back to where they meet in the middle. And it's kind of like now Cersei is so hell bent on destroying everybody and everything. I really feel like she's kind of taking on the so-called persona of how the Mad King was before before Jaime killed him, which I think is also kind of another foreshadowing thing, because, you know, Jaime was, he was the King's Guard and he had to kill Kingslayer. You know, the Mad King, because the Mad King was trying to destroy everyone.
Kingslayer.
And Jaime was trying to do it to save people and, you know, to save his dad too. But still, you know, he was like, the Mad King, you know, said, burn them all, burn them all. And I think we even saw a bit of that in Bran's memories or something. So, you know, it's kind of like now Cersei's starting to kind of slowly lose her grasp, I feel. You know, it's like she's so hell-bent on revenge and anger and trying to outsmart everyone that I feel like in soon she's going to make a major mistake, because she's so emotional with everything right now that that's what's driving her.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to lend to a major confrontation between not just even her and Tyrion, but her and Jaime as well. I don't know how soon that's going to come. I don't know if they're going to wait until next season, but something's changing within that dynamic.
Yeah. So. Now, I mean, Kat, that is the whole purpose of this scene. I, you know, you said it was boring. The symbolism, exactly what Hanako is talking about, is what's going on. He shows up, walks in there, and's like, hey girl, how you been? She blew up a big chunk of the city. She killed off a bunch of people. The only remaining heir is gone now. He is, you know, she turns to me, are you afraid of me? No, baby, no. Of course he's afraid of me.
Right.
She has lost her mind. And so he is trying to figure out where she is and if this is going to be all right, you know, how they're going to make things. Because he's like.
But was it wrong? Was she wrong in saying, we're the only Lannisters left. We're the only ones that matter. We got to live for us now. Like, well, that's the truth. I mean.
No, because she made it that way is the truth. I mean, the
she didn't kill her son. He was a coward and he killed himself.
She killed her cousin.
Yeah. And then the other thing you so astutely noted was the map. And the symbolism of that is going to be great and is important, and it is great. Because of course, I have a feeling that we are going to get a war room chess battle between Daenerys and the stone map and her little chess, and of course Cersei and her big floor map. I mean, this is actually a logistic way of going. What's happening, a shorthand, a visual shorthand for what's going to be happening when we see these, you know, territories falling or where the battle's breaking out. And we're going to be able to see on Cersei's map and on Daenerys' map what's going on as the season rounds out. So, yeah,
basically all. We're playing Civilization.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like the opening intro. It is Civilizations. So, yeah, I thought, why? No, look, you're just hangry, girl. That's all it is.
I'm not hangry. I had dinner.
You are hangry. Because that scene is tremendously powerful. When you see those two, you know, he's finally back from the long road trip, and he's like, what has happened here? You know, he's like, I thought everything was going to be cool.
He missed out on shame. Shame. He missed out on that. He wasn't fair for it. He was out doing whatever. He doesn't have a hand. He, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm not saying I'm on Cersei's side. I'm just being contrarian right now. I'm totally being that. So, grain of salt me.
All right.
Okay, so, let's kind of go sideways with the whole Cersei thing. I need to talk about Euron Greyjoy and how he just may have become one of my favorite characters.
But he's a butthole.
Just because.
He's a butthole.
He's an asshole, but I love it. Like, I'm here for it.
I can't.
Because it's like Cersei didn't know what to think of him. It's like she's looking at him and she's like, okay. I mean, she was looking at him with disgust, but of course she's trying to find a way to.
She wanted to do
kind
him.
Of. Strength. She's trying to find a way to strengthen her hold in the world, and she knows that he has the ships. First of all, I need to know how much time has passed, because if he was able to build 1,000 ships, from last season when Theon and Yara stole his ships, and he told them, he said, tear down all the trees on the island. I want everyone working around the clock. They built 1,000 ships. I need to know how much time has passed.
Well, the series has been away for a while. It was a long, long time. So
right, but I need to know how much time has passed in Game of Thrones years. Like Yara and Theon are part of Daenerys' fleet now, so it's kind of like they've got all their ships, and now he's built new ships, and he's taking them to search. I just need to know what kind of time frame we're looking
at. That's not bad. 1,000 ships, and if we are saying, let's say it was a year. Can we say a year? It was 1,000 ships
if
a year.
If we need to put a number on it, that's fine.
I would think so.
That's possible. That is possible with their technology and, you know, with the slave workforce he could muster. They could do that.
So, Hanako, to your point about you kind of liking him, I'm going to go ahead and admit I kind of liked him a little bit, too, because he was amusing.
Yes.
He amused me. I love that he didn't give a damn about Jamie. He was just like, I got 2 good hands. And I was just like, oh,
my God.
He
was so
much
Low blow.
Like, oh my God, because it's like Jamie wants to attack him, but the fact that Cersei is just sitting, like, Cersei's face did not change. And I think that's one of the reasons why I loved Euron, because everything else is so serious. And he was just all of a sudden, unexpectedly, just delightfully shady. And he's like talking down to Jamie, but he's not, you know, he's doing it in his face. And, you know, he's doing it in front of Cersei and in front of everybody. And there's literally nothing Jamie can do about it.
And then Cersei was like, I reject your proposal.
Yeah, dude was like, hey, you know what? That's cool. I'm going to bring you back a gift and you're going to change your mind. Blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I can see where Theon got it from, because remember, Theon was the same way in season one. Theon was the same kind of cocky, especially when it came to women. Theon had a reputation in that first season.
Right,
but, yeah, look, but
Theon
was,
but Theon was not cool is the thing. This guy is smart. But Theon was never cool.
He wasn't cool, but he had that mouth and he had that.
But this is the difference. It is a nuance. Yeah, that's the difference, because Theon was just kind of nasty, and you know no women wanted to be around him, but you know he had the reputation and the power. This dude just busts in there, and he's got, you know, a little Han Solo swagger going on. Yeah. You're like, okay, look, you know.
Right, with his major guy liner.
He reminded me from Spike from Buffy a little, because he was
maybe a little of that. So he had a little more style than Theon,
So, yeah, I think he just may have become one of my favorite characters.
I don't want to like him.
Yeah.
I don't, but at the same time, I do. Anybody that can keep the Lannisters on their toes, I'm all for it.
I agree on that one.
I
didn't want to like them because I wanted to like Yara and Theon. I believed in them because they feel like they're fighting for truth and justice or whatever. So he comes in out of the blue, skulking and stuff, and takes over the everything, and I'm like, who is this hack? You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, he was just tacky and ghetto until you found out he had 1,000 ships, and then suddenly, oh, now he's a rogue. He's a rogue. He's dashing.
I don't know. So, okay. So, Cersei, is that the last we deal with Cersei and stuff? And so, because I want to deal with the Hound next.
Okay.
Because I felt like the Hound was very self-aware, very emo, and to me his scenes took a really long time. Like, why is he coming to Jesus now? Like, why is he having all these, why is he in his feelings? Why is it?
Well, you got to think about it. Last season, the person who saved him from when Arya left him to die was kind of sort of a religious person. And he was around that for who knows how long, you know, and I think you know, just like he said it last night, he was like, he doesn't believe in religion or whatever, but he felt like something needs to be said. I just think maybe it's a little bit of his conscience coming back to him. I don't know, but, you know, just from the early stories that we got of the Hound and the Mountain and their tumultuous relationship, the Hound was always, I guess, he was supposed to be the more sweet-natured of the two boys until his brother, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, he was the more, I don't know, he was the more humane of the two, let's say that, until his brother stuffed his face in the fire. And then from that point on, he had to be strong, he had to be cool, because he had to always be, you know, he had to always defend himself. I mean, his brother scarred him permanently, and that's something that you get bullied by, and that's something that people don't tend to let you forget. So he's had to do this, but I mean, we could all see a little bit of that he wasn't all that bad, because even when...
Are you eating candy and talking?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My dinner just got here. But okay. You know, even in the first season when Sansa was on the road with all of them going to King's Landing, he was always a little more protective of her, you know, especially even when it came to Joffrey. You know, he kind of told her, okay, just do what he tells you to do or else he's going to do this. He always kind of tried to protect her. And then even when the battle at Blackwater happened, when he was getting ready to leave, he tried to take Sansa with him and she wouldn't go.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think, you know, he has a little bit of humanity still in him. I think for the most part, his survival instincts kick in and, you know, it's basically a, you know, either damn or be damned world. And, you know, I think for the most part, he tries to be on the side where he doesn't have to suffer. But going back to that home and seeing, okay, this is the same family we took food from and now they're dead. The father sacrificed his daughter and then himself because they couldn't eat. Maybe that just kind of let him say, okay, you know what? Maybe this is karma. Maybe I need to be learning something from this. Maybe it's not that deep. But I would like to think that maybe something about the things he's experienced is making him kind of rethink how he's behaved towards people. I mean, the fact that he did everything that he could to save Arya's life, even though it was for selfish reasons, he still kept her alive and he kept her safe. And the fact that she left him to die because of his past actions, maybe that, I don't know, maybe that triggered something in him. You know? I don't know.
The point is that he is not a man. And if you're going to eat, child, mute it.
No, I just moved it out. I just moved it out of the way.
Okay. So the thing is I kind of, while he's an interesting character, I thought his story and his journey into his discovery of his humanity and his emotions took too long, because he's not a character that I'm interested in. And unless something major is going to happen with them, and even if it does, I'm not sure he matters to me. Oh, and so I don't understand why we're spending so much time with the Hound, because if he's separated from Arya, unless he's going to eventually reunite with her in some way, which could very well happen, his story could go away and I'd be fine with it. There are other interesting stories, and I'm not sure why he's one of the characters that have been singled out as someone who is worthy of focus.
Well, I think one of the things I've noticed about Game of Thrones, and it's with, you know, not just Game of Thrones, I've noticed this with most epic TV shows or novels. You always find something major comes from something minor that happened previously.
Yep.
You know, the fact that, once again, we're seeing Beric Dondarrion, and we've only seen him like twice or, you know, maybe twice or three times throughout the whole series. The fact that he's coming back, that he's back in this season, and from what I understand, he's supposed to play a big part in this season.
Now, who is that?
Beric Dondarrion is the guy with the eye patch, the one that's been brought back to life several times. He and the Hound actually fought back in, I want to say, season 3, maybe. When he's part of that brotherhood that
right because they were talking that about captured, that and I don't remember it at all.
Oh, you yeah, don't remember the, his re- they're the ones his regeneration they
captured.
Ability?
No, I don't remember it at all.
What? Oh, yeah.
They had captured Arya and Gendry, and the Hound, you know, basically was trying to. I think he was bringing Arya to them or trying to take her from them or something. They got into a fight. He killed Beric, and then that little priest guy brought him back because the priest guy is one of the Lord of Light's followers. Mm. So Beric Dondarrion, at this point, I think he's been resurrected like 6 or 7 times. So
the suggestion that I got from him is that he has been brought back to life via ice magic or ice warrior. What are those things called? The ice zombies?
No, he's been brought back to life the same way Jon was.
Yeah.
There was a
But what I'm thinking is like, you know how like there was that one character that was kind of alive, not alive, that was helping Bran or something?
Yeah. Benjen Stark. Right.
So but
yeah. Not the same magic.
I feel like the opposite.
But the suggestion though, because they were talking about I see ice, I see this, and he was like, even though they were looking into fire, when the Hound looked into fire, he saw ice and he saw the ice zombies. And to me, it felt like that magic came from the same place.
No, he was seeing the wall. That was the big block. I know he was seeing the wall.
But the thing is that if you look in fire and you see the wall and you see ice and fire magic, it to me, the essence of what they were getting at was that somehow that if somebody is brought back to life over and over and over, that there's something to it because the ice people are also being brought back to life. This guy is also being brought back to life. Yeah, they're brought back to life and they live different lives and they're not zombies or whatever, but there's something connected there. I mean, like, am I the only person seeing that?
I think it's kind of like a balance thing.
Yeah,
it feels like it makes a little bit of sense.
It's been shown in the series that it's a different kind of magic that brought him back, and it's also a different kind of experience. You know, the people that are the ice zombies or the ice death, they got a whole lot of. Well, first of all, they look like they're about falling apart the whole time.
But
anyway.
I'm talking about in the same way that the Sith and the Jedi are kind of one and the same. That's what I mean here.
Like, there's a force.
Like they're the different, but they're kind of one in the same because there's a force.
I mean, the
foreshadowing is obviously that because he's really not going to die. He's going to be a valuable weapon against the undead ice people. I mean, that's
cool. The eye patch guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're putting the D&D weapons out on the table here. So we got our force of unkillable zombies coming this way, and you know, and all the humans they seem to be a little light on the supernatural. However, now hidden in the corner, turns out we've got the battle team with red magic. We've got the Hound who's redeeming himself and will do something heroic. And his merry band of mutants and their unusual abilities, you know, are going to be one of the few things that. And of course, now we got our mad professor doing the research on the ice crystals. On the weaponry that can stop the dead,
Dragon glass.
Yes, the dragon glass. We got Dr. X working on the dragon glass. So I mean, it's this is you see how the teams are lining up now, so we can have the battle, so we can have the conflict. But I don't know why you're
too neat.
It's getting near the end. It's supposed to. I mean, it's too neat. I really do not
I want get something. I want a raggedy edge. I need a raggedy.
Well, it's gonna be raggedy, but it's still gonna be.
I need something organically bad to go wrong. Yeah. Not predictably bad, but organic.
Well, stuff is gonna go wrong. I tell you that right now.
Speaking of the ice, what are they called again? Not wildlings.
The White Walkers.
White Walkers. Jeez, that's easy. So I know, right? It's like ridiculous after you said it. I'm like, oh, duh. They're a giant White Walkers.
Giants. Yeah, they lost. You they lost what? That guy.
That was the walker that was helping the wildlings and Jon Snow.
I was right. crying. Right. Well, not crying, but I wanted to cry because it was so sad because he was so heroic. But in death, son looks cool now.
Yeah,
he was like because he had the blue Terminator eye. That's all.
It broke my heart. I was like, no, how did they get him? No.
Yeah.
I mean, they shot him full of arrows so many times. He took a lot of abuse. I think he just passed out and died because he went through a lot, this giant.
Of course.
Yeah, but my question is, how would they get him? Because John knows that anything that any person or anything that dies, they come back as a White Walker. So especially there in the Night's Watch, well, they were at Winterfell at that point, but I'm sure they would have had the forethought to burn the bodies, because well, if not, then that means so that big. All of those.
Yeah, I was about to say that's a big body. That might have been a little rough. That might have been a little rough. They didn't have enough coal.
That just hurt my heart, though. I didn't want him to be a walker.
Me either. That they didn't have to go there. They didn't have to go there. No, but that was very cool sad.
Because he wasn't the only one. There was like another one.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like, man, that was a good scene. I was like, that's beautiful stuff right there. That's Game of Thrones right there. See, I started watching the show for the White Walkers and all the majestic stuff. And they start pulling all this freaking
human stuff.
Yeah, and I was just like, I don't want none of that. None of that crap. And so, like, every time, and they'll, like, tease us with the White Walker stuff, and that's the best stuff of the show every time. And as a matter of fact, when the show ends, I'm just going to edit all the White Walker stuff back to back, watch that, and see what I think. It's probably
it's only going to be an hour. It's only going to be an hour and a half.
That's fine, but I want to watch what I want.
She may not need to. Supposedly, they're doing some spinoffs, so.
That's true.
Yeah, you know what that spinoff is going to be? Talking. Politics. We can get that already.
It's gonna be Game of Thrones universe. And now nobody would have watched that.
Well. Okay, so what else are we talking about?
What else happened?
Let's talk about Jon and Sansa.
Oh.
Because someone pointed something out about Sansa right after Jon made that little comment about her admiring Cersei. Somebody said, do you realize that she's wearing Cersei's season one hairdo? Like, she's looking like she's starting to imitate some of the behaviors that Cersei has. Huh. I'm like,
That's a good observation.
That's going to be interesting.
Well, she's getting regal and royal. I mean, she has been through the stuff, and so she is getting wisdom, and you know, she realizes that she's got a degree of royalty, and she's starting to carry herself that way. So,
but not only that, she has Littlefinger whispering in her ear.
Yeah, but she's getting smart.
I need to understand why he's still around, because she knows he's not trustworthy.
No, she said because she needs his men.
He sounds just like Brienne. Why is he still here?
Yeah, oh my God, you know what? Brienne.
Look, let me just tell you. That is every guy's nightmare right there. Not Brienne. That, you know, the girl you're trying to mack on, her girlfriend is always hanging around. Why is he still around? I don't know why you're talking to him.
Well, he's got no real car. That's
sounds like you've been through this, Carl.
That's a big girlfriend. You gotta look out, boy. Brienne, she is talking shit. But anyway,
she got her own man problems, which is the hilarious stuff.
Oh yes, that's a spinoff. That's a spinoff right there. Brienne needs to give in. She needs to give in.
I need them to hook up. They'll
die. You don't want that. But my favorite part is that I saw something on Twitter. Where they were, when they were riding on horses or whatever, somebody went into like Snapchat and put like hearts and stuff all over them and stuff like that. And I was just like, this, every time I see them in a scene together, that's all I see is like Pepe Le Pew and the cat or whatever that he was trying to get. And I was just like, this is so, because he makes her so uncomfortable, and it's just a delight to watch, because you've all had that one guy. guy that's just a little too much.
And oh, it's just like, my God, God, yes.
With this guy. It's like, it's flattering, but you like, I wish he would stop it.
Right. But here's the funny thing. Apparently, that whole little flirtation that started between them in the episode where Sansa and Brienne, you know, came and he kind of looked at her. Apparently, all of that was improvised. It wasn't in the script.
That makes and it they even just kept better.
It. So I'm like, oh, this is gold. I just need them to go on ahead and just get that over with. But I don't know, because, you know, Brienne still has a thing for Jaime, so that might be an issue.
That's not going to happen. He only got one hand.
Because, look, Jaime may have this thing about Cersei, but he has feelings for Brienne.
He has noble feelings for her. He has noble, she's a handsome woman feelings for her.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think his feelings may go a little bit beyond that. Because even Cersei picked up on it, I think.
I don't know. Back at
Joffrey's wedding. You know, I think she kind of picked it up, and that's kind of why she was snippy with Brienne, because she saw the way Jaime was kind of looking at Brienne and how he was interacting when he spoke with her. So yeah, I think, you know, but to me that's selfish, because Cersei of course she was Robert's wife, so she was getting some there, and then she was screwing the cousin when Jaime wasn't around.
You can't count Robert as getting some.
Do you remember who her husband was?
The king, Robert, the guy.
That was getting some. That was probably necessity on both of their parts. They were probably like, okay, once a month, let me do my Robert,
and that is not what I count. No. I'm not going to count that as getting some. I'm sorry.
Okay, and then she was screwing the cousin, Lancel, the one who ended up being part of the High Sparrows.
That's getting some. Robert, I'm sorry, was not.
But what I'm saying is, Cersei has had more lovers than Jaime has. Jaime has admitted that Cersei is the only woman he has ever been with. He's never been with another woman.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's practically...
Seems very wrong.
So she needs to loosen that leash a little bit. Because they can't make no more babies. That's already, people are already suspecting now that the kids are gone. She can't do that again. So she might as well go on ahead and deal with Euron Greyjoy and let Jaime go do whatever he needs to do.
But she has to mate with the Ironborn? Ugh.
Well. I don't know. I can't see that either, but, you know.
I feel like they are noble people outside of the Lannisters or whatever, but I feel like they're not good enough to be in the Lannisters.
And they're not. I mean, they even know it.
He can have 5,000 ships. They're still... They're ships shady. From the...
They're at the bottom of the totem pole. I mean, even Theon said it. You know, last season he was like, they don't respect us. They don't see us as their equals. We're a nuisance to them. We're somebody who comes in and raise their villages. And then, you know, they drive us out and we're nothing to them. I mean, everybody knows that they're on their little island by themselves and nobody goes over to bother them.
I don't know if they would class up the joint a little bit instead of, you know, get a washcloth, wash off the face every once in a while. You know, throw a little shampoo in the hair. I mean, you know, just try a bit, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, I know who I do. I need to talk about my other favorite character.
What's this?
That doggone Lyanna Mormont.
Who's this?
That little girl.
Oh, yes.
Young queen.
When I tell you. When he was like, you expect us to put swords in children's heads, she got up and was like, I don't need your permission.
Whip girls' hands. Girls' hands. Yeah, she was.
Oh,
she
my
was
God, serious. I loved it. I love she that character. Serious. I love her. Like, she can go sit on the Iron Throne for all I care.
That would make a whole lot of sense. Seriously, she just needs to go ahead and take the seat and stop this insanity. That would bring some peace.
Because, like, I'd listen to her.
And Daenerys come face to face. I want to see that exchange.
You know what? It'll be like a good exchange. They'd be allies, number one, because that kid, everybody who talks to that kid is like, yeah, you know what? She right. So they should just put her on a Carlos right. Y'all should just put the kid on the Iron Throne because she don't have anything. Everything that has came out of her mouth has been wise.
Yeah, it was right. As Dave stood up. He's like, well, she didn't have to talk about my mama that way, but she's right. You know, I was rolling when he said something like, the queen speaks harshly, but she's right. She's right.
Right.
That little girl.
She was rough. Like,
she does not. Like, she
I think
like,
she's everybody. I have not met one person. I have not seen one person who has said, oh, I can't stand that character. Yeah, I don't think it exists. Mm. Like, she is just because she says what everybody else is scared to say.
Yeah. I like it. And then coming out of her mouth, it doesn't even seem like, I don't know, the feminist that people hate. She was like, oh, what? Now, wait a second. You're going to put swords in little boys' hands, but not little girl hands? That's not going to work out. Everybody need a damn sword. And I was just like, right.
And she's got a point, because guess what? When it comes to fighting, who are they going to go for first? The women and the children, because they think that they're quote unquote weaker. Because she's got a point.
Yeah, that's true.
Teach everybody to fight. That way, when they come thinking that they're just, oh, we're going to eliminate the women and the children first, the women and the children can say, oh, you thought? And keep it going.
That's nice.
I like that character. I love her.
She's awesome. So, the kind of talking about what Hanako said and with Jon Snow and Sansa and their exchange. What whose side were you on? Were you on the side of Jon Snow side, or were you on the side of Sansa? Like, I felt like both of them had good points, but I don't know, like, was Sansa's side
I'm
too
kind
bitter?
Of in the middle. I think she is bitter because, you know, if you really think about it, they would have lost that battle if Sansa had not reached out to Littlefinger and gotten the Knights of the Vale.
So
they would have lost that battle.
So she sucked it
so
up.
I feel like she should have a bigger part. But I don't know. I mean, Thinking back to that particular time and the way the hierarchy works and all this other stuff, I think that the way she approached that situation, like in front of everybody, I think that she did that wrong, because here it is. She was the one who told John, you should be the king. You should be in charge. She was the one who told him that. So for her to turn around and undermine him in front of everybody that he's trying to get to fight with him, I think that was wrong on her part.
So was she undermining him, or was she being a good number one? You know what I mean? Was she good being a good second in command?
Well, here's the thing. Even with second in commands, you don't have those kind of talks or debates in front of the people that you're serving.
So you never watched Star Trek because TNG with Riker.
No, because it shows that you guys are not united, and then that can
No, I agree with
that
you.
That can cause, you know, kind of splintering of the factions, and they don't have enough people to be able to afford a division right now. That's why I need Littlefinger to get the hell on, because he keeps planting those little seeds in Sansa's mind. And I have a feeling, like you said, I understand what John was saying. I also understand what Sansa was saying. Like, John is the military person. He.
Hello?
See, he can strategize. Huh?
Okay, you're breaking up there. Yeah, you're breaking up. We couldn't hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, you're breaking up.
Am we can I? Hear you now. You were. We can hear you now.
That's weird again. Because I haven't moved. Okay. Right.
Okay, try again.
What was the last thing you heard?
Just keep on. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, I think, you know, John is the military person. He has seen the White Walkers. He has been in battle. So he knows what that is about. And I understand where he's coming from. But at the same time, like Sansa was saying, she said, you know, she said Dad was smart, Rob was smart, but they made mistakes that cost them their lives. And I think that he really needs to kind of maybe take it down and actually listen to what she has to say. Because Sansa is not the same little selfish brat that she was the last time he saw her. She actually has some knowledge of the world and the way things work. So she's not naive anymore. She's had to go through her rough spells and her bad things that happens. And she's actually been around these evil people. Like, she was literally stuck under Cersei's skirts. You know, she had to be around Cersei. She was stuck to Ramsay, two of probably arguably the most evil people on the show. She's been right there watching them and having to absorb what they're about. So she has some knowledge that he does not necessarily have. And I think he really needs to remember that and take that into consideration so that they work together to get the result that they want. Because if they keep going at it the way that they are, there's going to be, I don't know, I just don't see anything good coming out of them to not listen to each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, together they're going to make the right decision. But in that situation, no, you can't in the middle of a war room have dissent in your number one and number two that way. That really looks bad. Then there's the ego thing, you know. She just showed up, and now you've got a woman telling you what to do. You're supposed to be in charge. That is going to cause all kinds of chaos if it keeps up. Not saying that her advice is bad, though. I just think that they need to, you know, work it out beforehand.
So I think that with Jon Snow listening to Sansa, I agree with Hanako saying, that she's been around and she's been right up under the evil people. But I also think that too, what she was doing was urging him to purge all of the people who were disloyal. His point was their parents were disloyal. They were not. I want to use them and wipe the slate clean and not kill, you know, the two kids that
are now pledged to him,
right? So they pledged to him, and I think it was the right thing to do. Maybe if they don't feel like, you know, 5 years later they're gonna come back, I need to avenge my parents, the blah 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 blah, because that could very well happen. So I see both points, and I see that John wants to be noble and things like that. So I would guess he's the liberal, Sansa's the conservative, and we're just going to come in, we're going to have a balance or whatever, a healthy balance in this case.
But the issue I have with Sansa's point of view, you got to think about it. Theon Greyjoy also betrayed their parents. But if it wasn't for Theon, she would be dead.
Yeah.
Or she would still be Ramsay's wife or his prisoner.
She
really kind of needs to think about the fact that sometimes those enemies or those, whatever you want to call it, they can turn ally just as much as ally can turn enemy.
Yep.
Are the people that they're going to need in their corner. And again, this is where I say one of the things that I've noticed as a theme with Jon Snow is he seems to be I think if it comes to rulers, like Cersei is so worried about conquering everybody. I think Jon's whole purpose is to try to unite everyone. Yeah. You know, I mean, think about it. He's the only person in thousands of years who's been able to get the wildlings to work with people, you know, to work with the regular people or the Northerners and be at peace. You know, nobody else has been able to do that or even tried to do that before him. And he's done it almost seamlessly. You know, of course, he had his issues on his end, but there haven't been any revolts from the wildlings. Like, nobody has said, oh, no, you guys are traitors. You're following this crow, blah, blah, blah. We're not following. There's been none of that from the wildlings. None.
Yeah, he's a just and fair dude. That's why. I mean, the wildlings have had people that steal their land and come in there and try to rule them and not listen to them. Not, Jon Snow has been straight with them the whole time. And furthermore, Snow's been like, look, we got a real enemy we got to deal with. So whatever stuff we've had in the past, we got to focus, people. We need to focus.
Right.
Everybody else is kind of taking them for their word that, oh, you know, the White Walkers are coming to us. They've been there. They've seen it. So the wildlings, they're going to be tight with Snow and the crew now. That's settled.
Right. And also, I think because John has said before, he was like, I don't want to rule over anybody. I don't want to be, you know, he doesn't necessarily want to be in charge. He's always been put in that position.
Yep.
You know, from the time he got to, to the Night's Watch and the Lord Commander made him his steward. It's kind of like they've been grooming him to lead. And, you know, again, you've got these different people who have been trying to become the ruler. They're trying to sit on the iron throne. Like, they're all falling one by one. I think, just me, as much as I love the character of Daenerys, I think Jon is probably better suited to be on the Iron Throne because he is the one that he's not actively pursuing it. He doesn't want it for the reasons everybody else wants it. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But my thing is, too, with Jon Snow is that he will also walk away from things. So I'm not saying that he's a quitter per se, but if things get too hot, like, you know, people just roll up and start killing you and you get brought back to life, you'll quit. Like, don't do that.
But he's got to be practical.
But
bygones got to be bygones.
What you say, Carl?
Bygones got to be bygones. I mean, given the scale of what they have to deal with, yeah. So you killed me. Look, we got to let that go. We got some real stuff we need to worry about. So that's kind of the way things are now. And seriously, though.
But at the same time, he made a point. He said, you know, my watch is ended. He was like, I gave my life. I pledged my life and I gave my life. So that vow for him was over. You know, that doesn't mean that he's not going to still do what he needs to do as a person, because that's just who he is. But he was like, right. I can't stay and lead the Night's Watch. I can't stay here and be their leader, knowing that the minute I make a decision they don't agree with, they feel they're justified in killing me.
Well, that's true. That's true. It was very Julius Caesar, Ides of March. But the thing is, Jon Snow lived. That's number one. And Daenerys, I don't think you should count her out, because she has a great ability to get people to follow her. And I think that is a great talent in a leader. She has walked the lands from nothing. She had jack. And she has accumulated so much things across her journeys. Entire peoples, entire, like, cities, and have ruled them successfully. Who knows? But I think that you can't really count that out. What should happen, which I don't think has happened because that'd be too heroic and too right, is that Daenerys and Jon Snow would be a great marriage, politically so, to rule the land, because they're not cruel. You know what I mean? They're not cruel leaders. They might not be perfect, but they're not cruel as, like, Cersei. I get with Cersei. Cersei is too old school. You know what I mean? She's too old school Lannister, and her style of ruling, it's almost a blessing that her children die, because we don't, I think all of Westeros they don't need that type of ruler anymore, because it's not healthy and it doesn't serve them.
But I guess the thing that kind of, as far as Daenerys goes, and I understand what you're saying, I'm not saying that she wouldn't be a great ruler, but one of the, I think it was the Master of Yunkai in last season, he made a point as far as Daenerys' rule. Yes, she rules people, and she's been going, you know, she's been going and getting people to follow her. But if you've noticed, the people who followed her are also the ones that are now turning their backs on her. Because she's come in and completely changed their way of life, the way that they live, their culture. And that Master of Yunkai said, all you did was trade one master for another. Because even though she says you're free, you know, he told the Grey Worm, he said, you're still sitting here serving her. You do whatever it is she tells you. You know, and it's
you're gonna
like,
do that for any
you know,
leader, though. That's in any no, 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 like, but, they do but that
listen,
for John.
But listen, what I'm saying. But see, the thing, the comparison I'm trying to make is like Daenerys is trying to go in and she's trying to change things to her way of thinking as far as what is right, and she was not given consideration to what the people wanted. John, on the other hand, like I said, when it comes to the wildlings, he got them to be on his side. But he didn't say, okay, well, when you guys fight with us, you will bow to me. You will be, you know, you will be under my rule. That's what Stannis tried to do. He went to the wildlings and he was like, you take the knee, you declare me king, and I'll keep you safe. And they were like, no, we don't bow to any king. John
so, no, Daenerys, what
anybody.
She tried to do was end slavery. So the slaves were loyal to her, but the people who wanted to keep slavery, those are the only people who were not loyal to her. So you had two types of people and one who benefited from her rule, and she didn't really want to do anything like tell them to take the knee or change their way of life other than to not to be free, which is the way people should be.
But see,
right?
even some of the slaves argued with her, or not necessarily argued.
Well, that's because her, the society was broken. I mean, you can't.
I understand it, but still, what I'm trying to say is, when you go in and you try to change the way people have been living, the way that they are comfortable living, whether it was slavery or not, some of the slaves came to her, remember, and said, can you please give me back? Because this is what I want to do. Like, out here on the streets, I'm nothing. At, you know, in my master's home, I was an important person. Regardless, yes, we know that's slavery and we know that's wrong. But the thing is, she didn't go in and ask those people, okay, what is it that you want? How can I make your lives better? She just came in and said, okay, this is what we're doing. This is wrong. The way you guys are living is wrong. I'm about to change that, blah, blah, blah. And my thing is, she did what she felt she needed to do. John has always been doing what he feels.
But the problem is the
everyone.
Wildlings did not have slavery. So they, I mean, he didn't see it. There was no massive injustice in their society. It was a egalitarian, if you will, even if they were hunter-gatherer. You know what I mean? It was,
yeah,
there was no exploitation.
The they're free.
They're free.
And they have
right.
the opportunity to stay free. Like, they don't have to, in order to fight for him or in order for him to go save them, it wasn't a tit for tat. It wasn't, okay, you come under our rule and we'll save you. John was like, no, I'm going to save you because you guys are people and you don't deserve to
it
die.
It was still a strategic thing for him to use them because they were great warriors. I think that if he had went in to the same situation that Daenerys went in where they were masters and slaves, he would have made the same exact mistake that she did because they have the same type of honor, right? I don't know. And I think
the only difference that I see is Daenerys still sees things kind of in black and white, right and wrong. John has been through all the diplomatic training, all of that normal stuff. Daenerys is going to get in trouble continuing to just rule the way that she does. John works in a more collaborative way. And so now, granted, in the past, and what Daenerys has had to deal with has been slavery, has been very cut and dry who the good guys and who the bad guys are. But she's about to encounter societies that are very, very different than that. And if she's supposed to be in charge and she's coming in trying to rule like, you know, Beyonce and with them dragons, they're not going to go for that.
So what are they going to go with Jon Snow? How is his rule going to be different?
Because they know John, and they've had dealings with his people before, and he has the necessary.
Cersei is not going to put up with them because they are conquerors. She's not going to be there. We're not even figuring Cersei because Cersei's going to be dead by the time. She ain't going to have a lot to say.
She ain't going to have a lot to say.
Or it's going to be John, because here's the thing. Cersei. One, she can't fight three dragons. We already know that. So if Daenerys comes for her, she's done. Jon has a wildling army. They're not going to fight the same way that Cersei's trained officers are going to do. The trained officers are going to fight according to a protocol, according to the way they've been trained. The Wildlings are going to go in like, oh, okay, you got on a gold cloak, time to kill you. That's it.
Yep.
The Wildlings can't fight no damn dragons either.
Yeah. Huh?
If Cersei can't fight dragons, Wildlings can't fight. They can't even fight the White Walkers. Dragons might be able to fight the White Walkers, but then, like, what are we doing at this point? Like, I don't see
there being a battle between Jon and Daenerys, especially once Jon's parentage comes out to light. That's gonna be a non-starter because Jon and Daenerys are related by blood. Like, Daenerys is Jon's aunt.
Yeah.
Say what
yeah.
now?
So,
you know they're gonna be married. So that's gonna be weird.
Well, I mean, it can't be any weirder than Cersei and Jaime, or the fact that if Viserys was still alive and he wasn't trying to get back to the Iron Throne, him and Daenerys would have been married because that's what Targaryens did. Yeah. They married brother and sister. They married within their family. So technically speaking, going by the history, Jon and Daenerys would not be so weird. I mean, you know, like I said, going by the canon, that would actually not be a weird thing.
No, it's still weird.
Oh yeah, it's still weird. It's still weird.
So what else? Where are we? What else are we doing? So okay, with Daenerys,
we got to talk about the Citadel.
Oh, that's exactly where I'm going. That's exactly
Poor
where
I'm going. Poor Sam.
Carl, so he's like the nerd of the show. How'd you feel about your boy paying his dues?
Now, why you got to sit in the nerd section to me? I'm just questioning. You know, everybody had an equal conversation, and then suddenly he's like, oh, Sam's the nerd. Carl, how you feel about that?
Because I knew you would respond that way. That's the only reason I did it.
This insanity. Yeah, no, that, everybody knows. That's what university life's like.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly what work study is.
And from the outside, it looks like, ooh, look at the castle, all of the books and the light coming in. I can't wait to get started. First semester in. Bedpans. It's all party.
They did not have to have that much attention to detail on that on those things. Oh my God. They did not.
And then they did the whole Groundhog's Day where he just kept having the same thing over and over. Oh my God.
That was real.
I was just like, oh my God, thank God for plumbing.
It was so disgusting. Nasty. Oh my God. That was nasty. Okay, so here's the other funny thing about the scene. So, you know, everybody, I don't know if you saw Twitter, everybody was making Harry Potter jokes during that scene because Sam kept trying to get into the restricted section of the library. So here's the funny thing. The guy, the coroner, whatever they call him back in
Archmaester.
The guy who was performing the autopsy.
Yes.
He was Professor Slughorn from Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Jim Broadbent, that's right.
Yes. I was not paying attention, and everybody was like, oh, this is doubly funny because he's asking Slughorn for permission to go into the restricted section. I was like, wait, what? How did I miss that? I'm slipping on my game. But it was, that was just so disgusting. I'm sorry, I had to go back to that. That whole thing, weighing hearts and livers and tearing folks apart.
I mean, I guess after that, you'd be prepared for anything. But he was definitely gagging. And I'm like, okay, so what are they feeding these people that they have liquid poop every day? And then, I don't understand why they don't have an outhouse.
He was picking up the bedpans in the sick area. So a lot of those patients might have been bedridden.
Yeah, he was in the ward.
Yeah, so that might have been it. But okay. So there was something interesting that happened in that scene after all of the gross stuff. all of the gross stuff. So Sam finally gets, he sneaks his way into the restricted section. He steals a couple of books.
He does not have the cloak of invisibility.
No, he does not. But he made it through anyway. Good for you, Sam. And he's reading this book, and he's finding out about, he comes across a passage about dragon glass and how there's dragon glass on Dragonstone, the island, and how there's a mountain of dragon glass, and this is what they need to kill the White Walkers. And I was like, why does that sound familiar? Well, he referenced it back at the Night's Watch, he at Castle Black, when he and John were talking about the dragon glass that he used to kill the White Walker when he and Gilly were on the run, I believe. And he said something about they would need a whole mountain of dragon glass to kill that army. And then boom, now here we go. We got a mountain of dragon glass.
See, that's too easy. That's too easy.
But that's another thing how I said something that seems so small and insignificant two, three early seasons on. Ago is going to play a major part in this season, like, because now you've got this huge mountain of dragon glass, and guess who's on Dragonstone right now?
Yeah, Daenerys. How about that? How about that?
And they were showing it. They were showing it.
And sweet, sweet like, headquarters. That was that was a nice joint she got there.
Oh
that
my God! Beautiful. And we didn't see that much of it when Stannis was there. All we ever saw was the war room.
Yeah, that was nice.
So what were you thinking? Carl? Like, what? How were you like processing her? When were you like, oh, I'm excited?
Yeah, I was excited. I mean, this is. I mean, there are a ton of sci-fi, you know, movies and anime where the heroes like find the old, ancient, abandoned ship. You know, and they walk in, it's all dusty, and it's been half buried under sand and whatnot. And there's like, maybe we can use this to save the Earth. It was the same scene. It was the same thing when they push open the rickety doors, and it's that beautiful palace back there. And it's like, oh, I was just waiting for them like to flip a switch, and then the war room comes on. I'm serious. It was perfect.
But it had more meaning because that was where Daenerys was born.
Come from. That's right. That's why she touched the sand like that. She'd been trying to get home.
That's the first time
she'd been trying to get home this whole time. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, it was beautiful. It was powerful, and she had her team. They walked in that door, like, you know, like you said, like the X-Men. I mean, they just marched. It was like, yeah, this is our place now. This is our place.
Right. I thought somebody would be there. Why is it abandoned?
Because remember, Stan. That's where Stannis was. That's where he was headquartered. So when he left, he took everybody with him.
Okay, that's why I was trying to figure out, like, why wasn't that a stronghold? Why didn't she have to fight for it? And so, because it was
abandoned.
Okay, yeah, that's nice. I do like the bend down in the sand, because I didn't know what was going on, because I had never seen the outside of it before. But the way she was looking at it, and then she came, and then she, like, you know, fell to one knee and touched the sand. I was like, oh, this must be home, because nobody does that unless they're at home, because you just know. When you're at home, you gotta touch everything and feel everything, because everything has significance.
Yeah, well, that's the first time she had seen it since she was a baby, because when the Mad King and Rhaegon fell, they sent, you know, Robert Baratheon sent people to go and kill Viserys and Daenerys, and I think Daenerys, they said she was like 6 months old at the time, and they had to flee. So she technically has not seen that place. Because she was too young to remember
anything. Yeah. You can't remember anything.
Yes, she doesn't remember anything. So this is the first time that she has actually been home, somewhere that she can actually call home.
That's nice. That was nice. So I thought she was going to sit on the throne, because it looks like the Iron Throne, kind of.
Yeah, it does.
And so she just stood there in front of it. And I was just like, oh, she's about to get in. And she was just like, yeah, no, let me take this detour. And she went straight to the war room. I was like, oh, yeah.
you see Grey Worm? You see Grey Worm walking up by like, hey, can I get in there? No, thank you. Get her. Have her moment, man.
Yeah, exactly. I think she looked at it, and I think she probably was thinking, you know what, later, let me go ahead and see how I can get all of this accomplished first.
Right. And she walked in, she was like, Carl, she was like, shall we play a game?
She was ready.
Shall we begin? I was like, okay, yes, it's about to be on and popping now. On and popping.
Yes,
that was a great scene. Because if you know, she only had 3 lines in the whole episode.
Really?
But I think that scene where she comes to Dragonstone and she's just like, literally, she doesn't say anything until that last line in the episode. It was just so powerful because it's like you could feel the importance of the moment. At least that's how I felt. Like, you could feel the significance of whatever was going on.
Absolutely.
I like, too, how the way she looked. They did something different with her. She looked older. Like, at first I thought maybe when we were looking at this scene, it was 20 years later or whatever, because, like, her makeup was more sophisticated. She was fully clothed. She was really neat. I mean, you know, because usually they'll have her in something skimpy or whatever. She felt like a general here. You know, she felt very, very wise and very, I'm not here for your bullshit. And it was just something that I really appreciated, just looking at the whole scene, that it wasn't about, you know, her being naked walking out of fire or her with some big bosom or whatever. It was about going home, being powerful, and getting this game started. And I really appreciate it.
And you got to think about it. She was on sea, too. All her traveling before has always been on land, in the heat, in the desert. And now she's on sea, so of course she's going to have to cover up, because when you're on the water, the temperature's a little bit colder. And then, of
deserts
course,
are
you
cold
know,
at night.
Look, winter is coming, so I'm pretty sure.
Nah, son, you know, winter is here. Winter well, is here.
It's not there yet. It's not in her neck of the woods yet. But, you know, I'm pretty sure, because winter's slowly moving its way south, that it's, you know, maybe the air is a little bit colder and she's just dressed a little bit more appropriately,
so,
you know,
I'm trying to figure
for that
out
reason.
How Westeros as a planet rotates around the sun, because I tell you, winter takes a really long time to come
yeah,
around. Like, how does
about 6 years is how long it's taking winter to finally get here.
Well, you know, they say the winters last long and the summers last long, because even in season 1, Bran was, 10 years old at that time, and he was in the bed after he had woken up from his accident, and old Nan said to him, she said, you are a summer child, you've never experienced the winter. So that means that there hadn't been a winter in at least 10 years.
That's I don't true. Even understand. That sounds like Houston number one.
That's like Alaska to the umpteenth power.
Yeah,
you know, when you get your
is
6 months of darkness.
You think we could get Neil deGrasse Tyson to try to draw this planet to see how something like it? No, okay.
I mean, hey, who knows? Who knows? There's one thing, something else about the Citadel that I want to mention that we skipped over. So while Sam is, you know, running his rounds and he's changing his bedpans and he's going to these cells to change the food, did you realize who that was who grabbed?
Oh, I thought you were
going to
bring that up when we were talking about it, and I forgot about it. Yes, I realized that the janky arm out of the prison was what's his face?
Jorah.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
my thing is how did he get in prison at the Citadel?
That's what I want to know.
Oh no,
my guess,
he's on the ward, right?
Yeah, my guess is if it's not just for, you know, kindness of someone who is sick, he's probably interesting scientifically. You know, this is like a university.
You as a nerd of it.
I'm just
no, but I was gonna say that too, because remember Daenerys told him, "I command you to find a cure." By whatever means,
that's
do whatever
true.
It is you need
that's
to
right.
to do to find a cure.
That's right.
You know,
he went to the wisest people he could find. That makes sense. That
yeah,
makes
but
sense.
Ooh, it looks nasty, but I just I don't know. I'm one of the few people who actually like Jorah. I know a lot of people don't.
Wait, I like him.
Yeah, cool. Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. A lot of people are like, oh, I can't stand him. I don't like him. Da da da. I'm like, whatever your reasons are, you know, just like
they're
Carl
wrong.
Was saying earlier. You know, but just like Carl was saying earlier about Daenerys and her black and white views, it's like this man, yes, when he first came to you, he was under the employ of someone else who was sent to spy on you. But once he got to know you, he has been Team Dany from the beginning. And the fact that just because she found out how he started, you know, she got upset. She sent him away. She banished him twice. And she was about to banish him a third time until she realized he was sick and that he was possibly fatally sick. And then she was like, oh, no, when I take the kingdom, I need you with me. It's like, duh, that's like you've needed him all along. You've been letting other things kind of distract
only
you.
His mistake was not telling her sooner. That right. is what she was
but
pissed
he's
about.
But he's a man. What man is going to tell a female?
Let's not do that. Hey, we're not doing that. We're not doing the sexism like that. No, nope. Not doing it. Men are very capable of telling the truth, and he could have done it. So, ain't that right, Carl?
Yeah, girl, don't hit me again.
But yeah, so I hope I don't know. I want him to be cured. I want them to find a cure for dragons. What is it? Dragon scale. That's what they call it. Yeah. So that he can go be with Dany when she does whatever it is she's gonna do when she hits King's Landing.
You know he's gonna die, Hanako. You know.
Know what though? I would rather him die and she realize that he was 100% down for her than for him to die alone in the cell.
No. I want this the Game of Thrones. I want him to die alone in that cell. That's the Game of Thrones that I know.
You know what? I'm so done with you. I can't. You just said that
I don't
like
understand
this
with all this
to be miserable.
This happiness, this happiness on Game of Thrones, and this happy ending crap. I can't handle that. That's not what I'm here for. Because
you
they trained
what?
Us.
I need some
they
happy
have brutally.
Endings.
They have. They treated us brutally, Carl, for the entire five season. And now, like at the end, they want to like be all
okay. All right, now Arya, we're gonna need you to lighten up a little bit here. You know, it's getting toward the end of your journey, and just because it's starting to win, you don't have to turn evil. Let it happen.
How is this
let
evil?
The
it's
good
just
guys
like win. Everybody's all weird and mean and stuff, and now people are trying to be nice. I don't like it.
But I just have the feeling this is just the calm before the storm.
Yep.
I believe they're just kind of making us think, you know, okay, things are going to be kind of cool, blah, blah, blah. And then they're going to pull the rug from under us. And then we're going to have to wait another damn year to catch our breath.
Okay, Hanako. Really okay, like Hanako. Hmm? Who's going to die? Yeah. Who's going to die? No, wait. Nobody's read the books here, right?
I haven't.
No. Okay. I've only read like the first
and
book.
And I'm not talking about if you read spoilers or anything like that. Don't do that.
Oh no, I don't read the spoilers. I've read some of the theories just to kind of see if my train of thinking.
Use your train of thinking, but don't rely on like hints or theories or whatever. Who do you think is gonna bite it?
Cersei.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's
aside
the easiest
from
one.
Cersei,
she's the easiest
definitely
like
Cersei.
Your top three kick in the bucket. Not who you want to kick the bucket, who you think is definitely going to kick the bucket.
Okay, I would say this. From King's Landing, Cersei. From Jon Snow's camp or his area, I would say maybe Tormund.
Really?
Because here's the thing, the characters that that we all tend to like, those are the ones that die.
Heroically.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So I would say maybe Tormund, maybe Littlefinger.
Ooh, that I'd love.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, on Daenerys' side, I would say maybe Theon is going to die.
Heroically.
Jorah will probably die.
Who now?
Jorah.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's going to find his way back to Khaleesi. And, you know, he's like he's like the Color Purple. You know, me and you will never part. Y'all are not keeping him from his is Khaleesi.
Oh my god, you so oppo to beat me.
Jorah would die. And I hate to say it because it hurts my heart to do so. It's either gonna be Missandei or Grey Worm.
Yep.
Yeah, I say Grey Worm is gonna get it.
Yep.
My daughter's thinking Grey Worm. She just turned to me with number two. That's the second one I said. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, those are the ones that that are gonna die.
Carl, give me your death. Give me your death list.
Shoot, she took all the cool ones. That's exactly. I was gonna say Grey Worm. Definitely Cersei. Probably Theon, but in a very heroic way, because you know he's got to have his redemption.
He's got to have his redemption.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
he doesn't. He may as well die because he has nothing going on.
No. It's because he's finally trying to redeem himself, and you know that's kind of the way he's put people through misery. He's been through some crap, and so now you know he's got to have the hero's way out of this. So yeah, I have a feeling that's going to happen. Yeah, I also thought Littlefinger. The problem is he also has a slimy way of surviving. So I think he's probably due also. And it was somebody else that I was going to jump in there. I forgot. You go ahead, Kat. There was one or two other people
so
I was trying to mention.
I think if Cersei does not live. No, I'm sorry. If Cersei lives, which I don't think she will because of the prophecy, I think Jaime might die heroically. I think the other brother will live. I agree with you on Grey Worm, but he's already come close to death. So for him to die again would be weird. Like, it's just like him dying again, and then like Jon Snow dying again. It's like they already did that, but then like we had Glenn from Walking Dead.
I was
so,
just about to say that.
You know, mm-hmm. You never know.
Glenn several times. So
yeah,
yeah.
So
it
you
can
never.
Happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think. I think that I don't think Brienne is gonna die, but I think who's the guy that's making eyes.
That's what she said, Tormund.
Podrick, no. Oh, which one? The one that likes her, or the squire?
You talking about the redhead guy or the kid?
The redhead, Tormund.
Yeah, that's Tormund.
Tormund. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think the kid might die, and I think Tormund might die, and then that's when she'll profess her love for him, because that's how that works.
That would be corny.
We've fallen in love with the guy. We want him to get it. She's been, but the only way she's going to ever soften up to him is if he freaking dies. So that's how that works. So Jaime, Tormund, I think, let's see, Daenerys, Grey Worm, who else?
Can I throw in one more?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think Arya is probably going to die.
You think?
Yeah.
What about Bran, though? What about Bran? Like, out of them? Or is Arya
already
dead? No,
I think Bran is the three-eyed raven now. I don't think he's going to die. Mira might die.
Oh, his companion?
Yeah, she might die. I don't know.
Well, we already had.
Just simply because I think for Bran to fully become the three-eyed raven, he may, like, everybody who has been on that journey with him has died so far.
So
I think in order for him to fully become the three-eyed raven, maybe she has to be that last thing that dies. Or maybe she's the thing that keeps him from becoming it. I don't know.
But nah, she's right on the first one. You feel right on she needs to go because everybody else has died. He's lost Hodor. She's gotten him to where he needs to be, I think, maybe.
And now she's
And you know, I think it would kind of be fitting because her brother is the one who got Bran to open up to see his full potential, to know that, you know, her brother was the one who got him to figure out that he was a warg and to kind of teach him through that. So it's like Jojen was the beginning of that journey for Bran, and I think Mirror is going to be the end.
So, speaking of Hodor, I wonder if we're going to have any moments like that that were really intense where we got this whole hold the door, Hodor thing.
Oh, God, I hope so not.
Yeah, of course.
Amazing.
That episode tore my
But it was like, okay, yes, this is Game of Thrones. So, I don't know.
That was so horrible. Matter of fact, when we were doing the rewatch yesterday of season six, on that episode, like right before that scene, I left and walked to the store. And when I came back, my daughter said, she said, "You just missed the scene." I said, "That's exactly why I went to the store when I did."
No.
I can't watch that scene anymore. It's so heartbreaking.
It is. Well, I want to have, I know I've been kind of grumpy, but it's just, I've gotten so accustomed to the misery that is Game of Thrones, and to see happiness, I just don't trust it. It doesn't feel right. But I don't know. She's been hurt before.
She's been hurt by Game of Thrones too many times.
But
I'm a little bit mad that we didn't see Ghost yesterday. I need to see a direwolf. Like, if we can't get Ghost, can we get Nymeria back? Because I think she's the only one that we know for sure that hasn't died yet.
Child.
But I need to see some direwolves.
Yeah, I think we'll see some, you know, like when they least expect it and somebody's about to die, it'll be a freaking wolf jump out. You know what I'm saying? That's how it always works. So.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to pull a Shiva on us.
Yeah, yeah. there you go, bringing up old shit. Nah. So guys, we got to wrap up this show. Carl is an old man. He needs to go.
My bunion's acting up.
But we had some final thoughts. If Hanako gets her way, we'll have a show every week. If Kat gets her way, we'll have a show at the end of the season.
Oh gosh. How about this? How about we have the listeners call in and tell us what they want? What if no listeners call every week?
That means we get to do it my way. Yeah. Mm. No, we'll work it out. We'll do this. It's only 7 episodes. Hanako will keep on me. I'm going to tell you guys, this chick is brutal. So,
she does light up the instant messages. It's like bling, 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 bling. Like, yeah, okay.
That's how we're doing it today. But give us a call like Charles did at 773-336-2686. You can leave us an email if you still use that thing. It's scifipartyline@gmail.com or fancyfinbot@gmail.com. We are on Twitter. Most people contact us by that. We're on Facebook. We have a discussion group and a page. We have a website, scifipartyline.com. You can leave comments there. Let's see.
We have an Instagram.
Instagram @HanakoMans. And you can send us your sexy pictures. Please keep your clothes on. Thank you very much. Or not. If you can be shirtless, if you're a guy, because shirtless women, I don't really want. Okay, whatever. I'm going to stop talking about that.
We also accept Three Eye Raven messages, anything by carrier pigeon. We covered all mechanisms of delivery mail at this point. So, ready.
Facts. No.
There you go. I will say this too. Let me say this real quick too. I am going to start updating the Dragon Con blog for Sci-Fi Party Line because as of right now, we only have one person from Game of Thrones coming to Dragon Con, but it's none other than Cersei herself, Lena Headey. So, I'm going to get back into the blogging thing. So, you guys just keep an eye on that because Dragon Con is less than 3 months away. We got about 80 days till Dragon Con, so yay.
Okay. Countdown.
Represent.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
end of line.